Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God, that is the first section of our continuous readings over the next few weeks of Paul's letter to the Philippians, is in the first chapter, reading in the middle of the 18th verse to verse 27. Paul wrote, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel." This is the word of God. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. When I was at the seminary, the professors told us that we would have some Christians who would find it hard to die. In fact, sometimes these Christians would be afraid to die. The one thing I do not remember them ever telling me is that I would one day shepherd Christians who had a hard time living. Christians who were afraid to live. Some of them had lived a long, in some cases, long, long life. And they were tired. And they wanted to go home. To heaven. Others had lived a short life. But a life that had been filled with one problem after another. One illness, one difficulty after another. And even in their short lives, now they wanted to go home to God. Now, both of these groups of Christians who trusted mightily in the grace and providence of their Heavenly Father were willing to leave things in His hands. But they just cannot understand why the Lord does not take them, which is better by far. You know, as children of God, that it is better by far to die. As someone in Bible class this morning said, what better thing could happen to a Christian than to die? To be delivered from this world of pain and sorrow and temptation, and to sit with our elder brother, Jesus Christ, at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. But we also know that in the meantime, for us to live is Christ. And what that means is that everything I do in life is to enlarge Christ. Every minute of my life is to exalt or to magnify my Savior who loved me and died on the cross to pay for all of my sins. Thus, that daily Christian tension in our lives. To live means fruitful labor for us. To die is far better. To die is gain. We're not the first ones, and we won't be the last, to have this tension in our Christian lives. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in northern Greece about in this epistle, in this letter. He said, when I compare the two, to live, to die, which one shall I choose? Literally, he said, I can't see it. I just can't decide. I don't know which one. But I'll leave that in the Lord's hands. I'll let the Lord guide me and take me in whichever direction he wants. He says, I'm torn between the two. But either way, Paul fully expected and sought from God the courage that in life or death, in his body, he would exalt, that he would magnify Christ and live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Isn't that our daily theme? We want to magnify Christ by life and by death. We may be expected by God to continue to remain in the body for fruitful labor. Or it is better to die, which is far better, and will be great gain. It may be stating the obvious, but since you are here this morning, it is not God's will yet that you die. Because you are still here, because God has fruitful labor for you to yet carry out. You're here in the experience of still living so that you can, in your lives, exalt your Savior, Jesus Christ. That you can magnify Him by living your lives in a way that is in keeping, that brings honor to the glory of the gospel. That you live as redeemed children of God. As you live as those who have been freed, as I told the catechism kids yesterday, from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, that we should be his own and live under him in his kingdom, in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. You're still alive because the Lord has things for you to experience yet in your lives as Christians. You're here because the Lord has things for you to do in your lives as Christians. And all of those things are to magnify Christ in your body. And whatever has happened to you or is happening to you now will lead to your deliverance so that you can continue to magnify the Lord by your life. And that's really, Paul wrote, I fully expect that they're going to let me go this time. Paul was under house arrest in Rome, chained probably to a wall somewhere. But as he wrote these words, he suspected, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord was going to let him to continue to live so that he could continue his fruitful labor, particularly among the Philippians, that he would be able to continue to help them in their progress in faith, to help them increase in their joy, a joy that he was sharing. Paul was a prisoner, but yet he said, yes, I rejoice, and I'll continue to rejoice. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm going to rejoice because I am the Lord's. Those things that you are experiencing are for you to magnify Christ in your body. Think of the Virgin Mary. This young woman, unmarried, pregnant, she's going to be a big shame to everybody that sees her. She's going to be, or she is a disgrace to her fiancé, her husband, Joseph, when he discovers that she's pregnant. And under all those circumstances of life, what did Mary do? She sang the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul exalts God because He's been so good to me. Mary did what Paul did and what we have the opportunity to do. Even under the crosses we must bear, even under the most difficult, varied circumstances, it gives us a chance to sing the Magnificat, to magnify and exalt the goodness of God to us, His people. This wasn't just a pipe dream for Paul that he was going to be released. He gave a reason for his hope. He said, I know that you're praying for me to be released. I know that I'm going to have and do have the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm relying on those things. And if I'm going to continue to live, that'd be great. Because then I'll have fruitful labor among you and among other Christians. You continue to live to magnify the Lord by your life because you have fruitful labor to do. You have fruitful labor to do by encouraging, comforting, loving your spouse, if God has given you one. You have fruitful labor if you're younger, if you're a child, if you're unmarried. You have the fruitful labor of keeping your bodies pure for marriage, of keeping your bodies pure one day to give to the spouse that God may give you. You have that fruitful labor of families, of sitting down together and sharing God's word and strengthening each other's faith. You have the fruitful labor of continuing to come here to sing God's praises, to join in prayers, to hear God's word, to say that to the person next to you, I'm in the same boat as you are. I am a sinner, and I need Christ's forgiveness in His word and in the body and blood. Those are things that are all fruitful labor, even at work, when you have the chance to witness Christ to a co-worker or to somebody else in school, or to invite them to church. To go on living means a wonderful blessing from God to continue to help others progress in their faith and to grow in their joy as a child of God. I'll share again the story of a lady in one of my former congregations in a nursing home who did not understand why the Lord didn't take her. She couldn't do anything for the church. I asked her, do you pray for me every day? She said, well, of course, Pastor, you need it. I said, well, there you go. The Lord has something for you to do. The Lord has fruitful labor for you. And I left. She had a smile on her face because she had joy now, as she always did, in what she could do. To live is Christ. That life means preparing ourselves and others for the future. It means to struggle and fight and win against temptation and sin. And it means to trust through God's answering our prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit that one day we will have the greatest gain, the greatest joy we can experience as Christians. And that is to die. That is to be in heaven, to see Jesus face to face. God calls us to live in a way fitting with the gospel. Literally, when He says, that we want to, where he talks about conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Literally, he's saying there, be a citizen. Be a citizen of the kingdom of God and honor the gospel of Christ with your life. And we do that also, don't we, in our deaths. Think of Jesus. How did he magnify his Father in death? He said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Fully trusting that when he gave up his life, that that life would be with his Father in heaven. It is in that same way that you and I, although we don't give up our lives like Jesus did, but we can say before death, and don't we say every day thinking of death, what that means, Father, into your hands I commend myself. In my trust and faith in you, I die. It's because of the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts that we affirm what Paul wrote about to the Philippians. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Everything we do when we live is to center on Christ. Everything we do when we die centers on Christ. Christ who died that I might, and then lived, so that when I live and die, I will be with him. And that justification, that redemption, that reconciliation, that new life makes us also say with Paul, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Continue to rejoice in that best thing ever. How often do you consciously think about dying? I mean, have you thought today may be the last day you live on this earth? Do you consciously connect your death and your grave with Christ's death and his empty grave? Do you connect the resurrection of Jesus from his grave with our death going to the grave? Because those things are intimately connected. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Even though he dies, he will live, Jesus says. When you and I think about our Christian lives of fruitful labor, magnifying our God, when we think about our death, getting out of the misery and the sin and the temptation and the loss and the tears, going to the New Jerusalem where all those things are gone and aren't even a memory, those things that are far better, and again, what shall I choose? I just don't know. I really can't see what I really want to do. But then the Holy Spirit gives us the answer. We do what the Lord wants us to do. We do what the Lord directs us to do and enables us to do. The Lord gives us life, and the Lord takes our lives in death. And so Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves, be a citizen in a manner worthy of Christ. Be a citizen in the kingdom of God that does not magnify self, but magnifies your Savior. That does not magnify the word of men, but magnifies the gospel. God's great love for us in our substitute, Jesus Christ. God is our sacrifice for sin, who gives meaning and power and joy to our lives of fruitful labor, should he deliver us and enable us to continue to live. But Christ also gives us hope for death. It gives us joy and peace in the death of our loved ones who have also died in Christ. There is the uncertainty of death, the uncertainties surrounding death that are a little scary, maybe a lot scary, of which we are fearful because we are sinful people. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm not going to be afraid, as I said. Those Christians who are afraid of death still trust in their Heavenly Father, but we are still sinners in a sinful world. But what comforts us, what removes the fear, what gives us joy, and God will do that at that time. We don't have to worry about how am I going to be at that time when God takes me? Because right now you're strengthening your faith for that. And at the time, God will strengthen your faith for that. So that as a citizen of the kingdom of God, as you seek that great gain that is far better, you will be able to say with Jesus, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Amen.